CliffCentral.com.
Yes, we're here. We're here. Huffing and puffing, but here we are.
Oh, okay.
Run up the stairs in my big bag. So I just think that like, if a branch falls in my tree now, Uber just redirects the cab somewhere else. So I just...
Oh, a branch or a whole tree?
I live in one of those roads where one of those temporary booms are in position.
Okay.
A temporary boom, right? So It's kind of open the whole time. But wow, put that into a GPS signal. I mean, you might as well have like a cavalcade like Islamabad. So I think I've got to move. Otherwise, I'll just wouldn't ever be able to get an Uber on time. Yeah.
Good morning, Ben.
Hi. Hi, Sia.
How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. Just exhausted, actually. It's been such a week. I'm waking up like a newborn kitten at the moment. My eyes can't open. I sort of stroll around in like the darkness, going on muscle memory so I don't hurt myself. And then, here we are. So it's a Friday. Hooray.
And you still, oh my goodness. Okay, what? Wait. We need some context here. What? You were bitten by something a little earlier on this week.
It turns out it was probably just an ingrown hair.
Oh, never mind.
So okay. There's drawing out ointment in a small plaster.
I thought there was a story there. Never you mind. Anyway.
It might be. Maybe that's why I'm feeling so drowsy.
I was actually thinking about it last night, about how it really has been a long week just for a lot of people I know. And it finally caught up with me because I was sitting on my laptop and I was finishing some work off last night and I had gone out with a friend a little earlier. But by the time I was sitting at my laptop, I started feeling so drowsy. I was meant to go out again. And I just thought, I can't. So right now with this rain, the one thing I'm looking forward to is leaving work, going straight home and doing nothing this weekend.
Oh, what a thought.
Right?
Yeah, so in Johannesburg here in South Africa where we live and we perform the show, it was pissing down.
Do we perform the show?
We do, look at us.
Ba-ra-ba-ba-ba, ba-ra-ba-ba-ba.
Shouldn't get you started. So yesterday I wasn't here. I hope everything went well. Did you have a nice time?
Things went very well. We had Gareth on Skype. We had Leanne stop by. And we also had Karen Morn with the Burning Platform.
Fantastic. If you missed any of that, cliffcentral.com right now. Catch up on that and all the other podcasts. So yesterday I was at the golf course at 6 a.m. So I'm filming a video around what's taken place over the last year and the new developments. And it's all very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to get the 6 a.m. sunrise shot with like the mowers going out and like the green scheming team. I mean, it was like filming cats, basically. They all just went in scattered their directions. So there was this amazing golf day, this amazing BMW golf day, which I've been looking forward to for months. This was the day I had to play well. I played like crap, so I didn't win.
Oh.
Very upset about that. But I got there at 6 in the morning and I left that place at like almost 9
a.m.?
Like p.m.
You spent
that lot at a place
15 hours on a golf course.
Well, I was filming in the morning, then I played golf, and then I was drinking. So I never learned.
Oh, the drinking part.
Can't drink during the week.
Justifies it.
Three drafts and ugh. But yeah, so that was yesterday, and now we are here Friday. Oh, what a relief.
Why do you feel? Slightly hungover? Can you not?
Yeah, a lot of things, and yeah, I've just got a lot on the go at the moment, and it's fun. It's new challenges and new things
in a good way,
very very good. But I tell you, who's not going to have a good Friday is Burt Reynolds because he's dead.
Oh, Ben.
Well, yeah, he passed away yesterday. So he was. I mean, he was old. He was old. It's not. It's like a too sentimental. I mean, he was.
He was 82.
Exactly.
But that segue. It just didn't work.
Okay, stay on the line for fire rescue.
Burt Reynolds Estate.
Yeah, so he experienced trouble breathing. Obviously, he has a heart bypass a few years back.
Mm.
So whoever's, I don't know who this person is, but someone looks after Burt. Yeah, called in 911 and shortness of breath, went to cardiac arrest. And look at 82, you don't really bounce back from certain things. So, yeah, Burt's dead.
Good innings, did a lot in his career, was known to different people of different ages for various things. It sounds just very odd, but one of the first pictures I've ever seen of Burt Reynolds was that centerfold that he did. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's it.
Well, Bert was a 70s heartthrob. So
that was iconic. You have to admit that.
He was a 70s heartthrob. Okay, so if you, yeah, if you're wondering, Bert's heart basically stopped. So he's, yeah, that's what basically stopped. But the guy had, he had a lot of sort of interesting roles in that, yeah, he was kind of like that sort of little, he was like the epitome of like what a bad boy is. You know, he was a little bit sort of rough around the edges, and he was obviously in Smokey and the Bandit. That was a big success. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Dolly Parton. That was also a big thing. The Longest Yard. So he had some big roles. But the funny thing, this is quite ironic actually, he referred to his career. He said, "My career is not like a regular chart. Mine looks like a heart attack."
You see,
he said, "I've done over 100 films, and I'm the only actor that's been fired by all three networks." He's written 2 autobiographies. If you're into Bert and find out, "My Life" was published in 1994, and then his second one, "But Enough About Me," in 2015.
There's some badassery there, definitely.
He was a real badass. But also, like, he was so huge, and obviously he made a whole bunch of money through his movies, but then he lost a whole shit ton of money. So much so that he has made some bad investments, and I think this restaurant that was someone was stealing from him, no doubt. So he ended up, like, he was in some proper financial problem. And then, thankfully, Boogie Nights saved him. Temporarily, of course. So Boogie Nights, of course, was about the porn industry back in the 70s. And who are you gonna call? Burt Reynolds. I mean, he was the perfect guy for this. He was like the director in the safari suits. Like, he was such a great movie, actually. And yes, you see Mark Wahlberg's fake penis in that.
Oh, that's the movie. That's the context that I always have.
I just feel like I'm being seduced and or molested by listening to the song right now. The dance moves, these guys are basically just thrusting air. You can't make this stuff up. So yeah, Bert unfortunately lost a whole bunch of money. Bert then went on to get he won a Golden Globe, even an Oscar for Boogie Nights, and then he had to like sell the awards. Like, imagine that. It's like, this is your kind of stuff back into the limelight, and you gotta sell your awards. So he was in a spot of financial bother, which was it's a horrible way to kind of become older, let's be honest. But another interesting thing about Burt Reynolds that you might not know, this might come out in today, but every actor always goes through, I mean, their careers always take some sort of weird form or the other. They end up obviously having like a sex scandal or a drug scandal, or they murder someone. But Reynolds actually turned down some incredible roles. He turned down the role of James Bond, which obviously, big thing. Han Solo in Star Wars, big thing. And he also turned down Richard Gere's role in Pretty Woman, huge thing. But I can't, okay. Han Solo, yes. James Bond, he definitely couldn't have been Richard Gere's character in Pretty Woman. Definitely couldn't have been. It wouldn't have worked. But anyway, so apparently he turned down those roles. And he said, his words were, "There'd be better actors, there'd be better careers, but no one's had more fun than I have." Gareth, would you suggest that Burt Reynolds had the most fun? I mean, he was Smokey in the Bandit. He had the second best moustache in all of showbiz. I reckon he put the wood to a lot of women.
I'm so glad that you are here to give him the send-off that he deserves, Ben. I know you're a big fan, but Burt Reynolds was very cool.
Yeah,
he really was. I mean, he and Lonnie Anderson were like a power couple before there were power couples. Yeah. Long before David and Posh Spice, long before any of the supposedly big names in showbiz. In the 80s, he was unstoppable.
Well, that was his second wife, so obviously he was married twice. Like all actors have to be married a few times, and they all crash and burn dreadfully in the love aspects. But he was 82, hey? Did any of us have him in the death pools, yeah? We really got to stop paying more attention to this death pool.
Yeah, and more than that, we just need to start making money off it. I don't mean to sound insensitive.
Well, me either, but Burt Reynolds would have got us 18 points if anyone's got him.
Well, there's a quick way to check on my desks here in my little tray next to my desk. You'll find it.
Oh, no. I have the document here, and so far, no, I'm not seeing.
No.
Oh.
Damn.
Well, you know,
I really thought I had him.
Like, Bert's one of those guys you hope would live forever. But yeah, he filed for bankruptcy in 1996 with $11 million in debt. But yeah.
Shame. That's horrible. But then, you know what? I often think about it. How many of us live in debt?
Yeah. And just like
how many people owe on their house or owe on their car, and technically that means you're living in debt, right?
It's all relative, Gareth. I mean, let's just say the average one of us will sleep with 20 people in our life or whatever. Bert's obviously slept with like 2,000. So if we're in a little bit of debt, Bert's in $11 million. But yeah, let's not hop on about the things that weren't great in his career. So, you know, people always mourn the passing of big musicians, that kind of stuff. Mm. Watch a couple of Bert's movies. Maybe not watch Deliverance, because there's a scene in there where don't watch Deliverance. But I mean, Boogie Nights was good. And like Smokey and the Bandit, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, when it was released, only Star Wars eclipsed at the box office. Bert was the business.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, Gareth, how are you doing?
Mm, he was. He was brilliant. Yeah, good. How are you, Ben? We missed you yesterday.
Yeah.
I was on yesterday morning. I gave everybody an update on Germany.
So you're doing the usual thing of Europe and walking around a lot and taking photos and seeing monuments and stuff?
Well, you know, in the in-between time where we've got a little bit of time for ourselves, because really we've been in nonstop presentations and lectures, and we had really interesting talks from very, very cool people. Yesterday we met a woman called Julia, who is the developer and co-founder of an app. Well, it's not really an app. It's a web-based system. It's actually a magazine online called Der Kontext. Mm-hmm. And it basically is a means. You remember you used to do those mind maps when you were studying?
Oh, I remember those, yeah.
So she's found a way, along with her other co-founders, to tell stories and to get into a news topic. Let's say it's migration or it's blockchain or whatever else it is. You know how we do a podcast series?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she does. She creates these interactive digital graphic mind maps that you can zoom in on. You can get interviews, you can get stories, you can get facts. Now, it's all in German, so only really people in German-speaking countries or people who can understand German very well can use it now. But, I mean, it's the most incredible thing. She's done very, very well with her co-founders to develop this. So they basically go into a topic and they really unpack it in great detail. You get to have pictures, interviews, text, video. It's incredible. It really is very, very clever. And she started this a couple of years ago. And they're really doing very well in Germany. So a lot of people subscribe. You subscribe for €80 a year. And then you get your Der Kontext mind maps every month or two, and they go into a big story that's in the news, and you get all the information you need.
Fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, I just looking at my email quickly, I got an email from Gideon and from Simba this morning. Gideon says, "Morning, I don't know if you know about Burt Reynolds, that he passed away. Is he in your death pool?" So you see people are really on the ball here. And then Simba says, that he's really enjoying the stuff that I'm sharing on Instagram and Facebook at the moment. According to a new Pew survey, 26% of Facebook users in the US have deleted the app from their phones 26? Over the past year, and 54% have adjusted their privacy settings.
Wow. Yeah.
Jason Moser and David Kretzmann explain what it means for investors to talk cannabis stocks and when on Snap's new low, blah, blah, blah. But basically that shows you that, you know, Facebook is really dropping off the radar.
Mm. I was actually looking at some of their stats that they've released regarding content that they take down. And this is just in the time frame of October 2017 and March 2018. They've taken down more than 1.56 billion posts regarding spam. They've taken down 1.27 billion fake accounts, and they also target the likes of graphic violence, hate speech, and nudity, and that all combines to more than 47 million posts. So I don't know what's going on with Facebook. They really are just doing a lot right now.
Either that's censorship, or it's, you know, Facebook protecting itself, and either is not very good for its users. But then I do understand in a world, because I sometimes get these people who forward, you know, they share on their timeline complete fake news from sites like,
yeah,
you know, SouthAfricanHitsNews.com or whatever. or reallygreatnews.co.uk or
viral today. They've got
bullshit headlines.
Yeah.
You've seen those.
What I'd also like to know, sorry guys, what I'd also like to know around Facebook is that are they getting the same sort of new acquisitions? Because things like we're getting older. We got Facebook because it was the first best kind of thing. It was everything. But now, if you're a 16, 15-year-old person, what are you really gravitating towards? Is it really Facebook? Do you actually really care about those things? So if they're going to have people stopping using it, but they're not getting the new users coming through, then they've got a big issue.
Well, they're really not. That's part of the problem is that those new users aren't young and they aren't coming through. It's old people who are joining Facebook. But you asked about whether or not we've done touristy stuff. So I have managed to see quite a lot of Berlin in between. And that's the stuff I've been posting yesterday as part of the media tour that we're on. Mm-hmm. We went to the Stasi prison in East Berlin. Now, this is where the East German secret police, the communist police, would take prisoners, political prisoners, lock them up, and torture them and interrogate them and sometimes even murder them.
Wow.
So it was a horrible place to go, but a very, you know, enlightening, mind-bending, eye-opening situation. This was in a neighborhood. The people in the neighborhood didn't even know this prison existed because the area was cordoned off. So they thought, oh, well, it's just a government housing district because it's in a suburb. It's like if you had to plonk a prison in the middle of Craig Hall.
Mm.
And the people in the houses around the prison, not immediately around it, because there were a layer of houses and apartments directly around it that kind of blocked it from view. But two or three rows from that was normal civilians, right?
Hmm.
And they didn't even know this place existed.
Very, very sneaky, huh?
Yeah, and inside, I mean, these horrendous conditions, just ugly, ugly, dank cells so big you could only stand up in them. Awful stuff.
Wow. So you've been doing a lot of work. Is today your last actual day?
Yeah, today I'm actually flying back tonight, so I'm not spending any extra time. I know there are people who are staying a bit longer. I think Pumi wants to go and see Munich, but I've got to get back. There's stuff to do. It's been tremendous, though. It's not my first time in Berlin, mm-hmm. but this is absolutely the time I've been able to. And I've done this time, unlike last time, I did a lot of research. So I knew what to look for in Berlin. And I've seen, you know, stuff that I suppose a lot of tourists wouldn't even see because these are not things that are usually on the map. Mm-hmm. You know, you walk past a building and you won't realize that was a building that, you know, Joseph Goebbels used for his propaganda ministry, or you know, Hermann Göring used it as the head of the Luftwaffe. And you kind of get an idea, if you look at old photographs of Berlin, how much this place has changed. The thriving heart of Berlin in the 1930s was completely wiped out. It was an open field for, I don't know, 30 years before anything was even built on it. It was just open. Imagine going into the CBD of Johannesburg and destroying an area 5 by 10 blocks big, wow. Just destroying it, rubbing, you know, reducing it to rubble, and then wiping it clean so that it was a field, like a soccer field. That's what it looked like.
Hmm.
And then rebuilding completely different stuff over it. And then I said to you, go and find the old Stock Exchange building, or go and look for the headquarters of Standard Bank, or find me the Carlton Center. And you'd have to then do like a forensic map and a satellite map and overlay the two and find out where exactly a certain building was. That's what Berlin's, you know, sort of center of town was for a number of years. It was just a field.
Well, this is the great thing about travel is that, you know, you can go to these places more than once with different sort of things and plans. And obviously with that, with all the history, there is just so many different layers that a lot of people either like they take a taxi past or they're just simply walking past. And they miss these kind of things.
Well, that's also true. And I think a lot of people, you know, we're staying quite close to the center of town. So that's convenient because I walk everywhere. I mean, you've got to, you know, you've got to seriously have a pair of comfortable shoes and be prepared to hit the pavement because there's no other way to get around. You can use trams and you can use the underground and you can use buses and they're very efficient. But I like to walk. You see things that other people would miss and you can stop when there's a sign on the side of the road that has some historical detail. You can stop and read it. You don't have to wait for the bus to stop three blocks down and then kind of run back, you know. But I love this kind of thing. It's a type of trip that you have to take on your own. And I am here with other people, but I've spent quite a lot of time just walking around on my own, figuring out what's where and what's going on.
Great. So what great delights or surprises are you bringing us next week,
though? That's always the bottom line.
You mean a present?
No. I mean, like, have you done some interviews or just like some basic little things or other things?
Yeah, I have presents. But I've got, yeah, we're going to put together a podcast series with all the people I've spoken about yesterday and today. We've recorded little 5-minute interviews with them to kind of let you in on what's going on. On you know what the biggest conversations are these days around fake news and around media freedom and around, you know, liberal democracy. What do we regard as important in countries like South Africa? We call ourselves a democracy.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about politicians. What sort of stuff makes a country tick and what kind of thing makes a country a disaster? And having looked at Germany and their own history, I mean, I'm blown away by what happened post 1945 because these people had to build their entire country from scratch. Now they had an ugly past to deal with, which we also had in South Africa, but they were not, you know, we were not reduced to rubble like they were. I mean, the whole of Germany was a basket case. So you really have to. You have to give it to the Germans. They're an incredibly resourceful nation.
Well, they had to rebuild from scratch with nothing because it was not exactly like they had money after the war either.
There was nothing. There were no rich people. There was no building that was undamaged. There was no currency to speak of. It was an absolute zero. So it was poorer than, you know, the poorest stage in South Africa's development, and I'm talking about for everybody, right? So you take an average in South Africa, we're nowhere near as bad as the worst that Germany went through after the war, and yet they've pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and they are now the biggest economy in Europe and I think the third or fourth biggest economy in the world.
Yeah.
Now that's just absolutely extraordinary, and that for a country that went through a war. We haven't been through that. We, of course, have a difficult past to deal with, but we have no excuse. Germany had excuses and didn't use them. We have no excuse to succeed. And then I have to, you know, constantly kind of drop the standard for us because the recession's kicked in now and we've got incompetent politicians. We have state institutions that work. And we've got a lot to work with, so we've just got to get our shit together and make it happen.
Plus,
you know?
Plus we've got Tumamina, Gareth. So I mean, we are going to on the up and up.
Tumamina, do me a favor. So, Cyril, what are they calling it now? A rummer session?
Oh,
yeah, just rummer. Get on with it. I'm tired of hearing this crap. All right, well, we need to get into the 5 things we need to know. Of course, Siad, I mean, are we going to talk about that Marcus Joster Steinhoff thing?
Do you want to?
I don't want to.
I'll gladly give it a miss.
I'm kind of a little bit curious, yeah. I mean,
well, at no stage did he accept a responsibility for this kind of stuff. I mean, there's videos, of course, of like the entire thing, and he's just sitting there kind of smug. But I guess that, you know, when it gets to the point. We would feel bad about this kind of stuff. Guys like Marcus Joster don't. The only thing he feels bad about is that the price of his racehorses probably plummeted a bit. I mean, he'll be more excited to talk to Parliament about that.
You know what drives me crazy is that there's just no accountability anywhere in South Africa. I'm so sick of this. If someone doesn't do something or they do something, own up. Fucking, yes, it was me, you know?
Yeah.
No, but you can't, because you can hide behind an inquiry. You can hide behind a review. You can hide behind...
Well, this guy's been... He hasn't even appeared in public since that whole scandal. It's almost a year ago. Something
here he is. Here he is.
The perception, and I want to say that, if you ask my views and to be more direct, is that this company wasn't about accounting. This was a business with 12,000 stores and 50 factories around 30 countries, different countries in the world, giving employment from when we started with a couple of hundred people to 130,000 people. And therefore, the investigations where I was involved, I have shared with this committee the results of that. And
yeah, like ultimately, he got a couple of good breaks. He drank with the right people. Otherwise, Marcus was going to be a mechanic like most of his...
Well, he sounds like one. I mean,
terrible microphone technique as well. I mean, he's all over the place.
I hate to judge people by the way they sound, but he sounds like he should be driving trains. This is... The guy does... I didn't know he sounded like that. Wow.
Outcome of the future investigation is going to be and would only be in a position to respond then on those allegations.
So yeah, he was flip flopping around, and he was basically just dodging things like left, right, and center.
Mm.
And the thing is, like Gareth, we'll never know, because he's talking about the fact that but I was only responsible for this, and then that happened, and I was only involved in this, and then someone else did. So that's the whole thing. These corporates tie themselves up so nicely, and there's always full guys, and there's full accounts, and there's full agencies, whatever. So yeah, good luck with unraveling this mess. I mean. The state capture inquiry, what's happened this week with that?
This and that, and the Guptas requesting to be on video link, saying that they don't trust the system or the process, so they won't appear physically. There are tons of loopholes with our former President Zuma and also his son, Duduzane. So if you want to hear all of that and a great recap, Karen Morn stopped by yesterday morning. So you can listen to that on the Burning Platform.
All right, well, see, I need to
get... I'm going to be downloading that Burning Platform to listen to on the plane.
And you know Karen Morn's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great.
But she actually gave... an interesting perspective, because she wrote an article on this and even spoke about it yesterday, about the responsibilities and the pain, in her own words, the pain that whistleblowers endure. And I still don't know where I stand on that stance, because she says, you know, it takes a lot for people to stand up and own things, but a lot of us, we still are emotional and almost are on the hunt for blood. We want to see someone really, really suffer. So if you want to hear her perspective on that, it's also a good one to listen to. I, as I said earlier, I still don't know where I stand on that matter.
All right. Well, actually, before we get to the five things you need to know, before we get into this, we're losing track here with these negative stories.
Oh.
Casper de Vries is back today. Yeah, he's back. The Casper Radio Show. And Casper and his beloved Kent are the newly appointed ambassadors for Brevecto.
Yay, congratulations, Casper.
So, Brevecto, what is Brevecto, you might ask? Well, it's a tasty...
I can tell you.
Okay, well, I will, though.
All right.
Don't stress, Gareth. It's a Friday. I've got this. Well, what is Brevecto? Well, it's a tasty chew that protects puppies and dogs for 3 times longer than traditional monthly treatments. It works within 2 hours and will kill 100% of fleas within 8 hours and ticks within 12 hours. Plus, it lasts 12 weeks. That's pretty solid, huh? This extraordinary protection allows dogs to swim, bath, and just be dogs without the worry of ticks and fleas. Now, we are going to summer. You can't say your dog don't go in the water. Don't miss Casper today, 11 till 1 p.m. That's all on here, right here on Cliff Central. Or catch the podcast later at your convenience. The Casper Radio Show is always just such it's an absolute circus of humor, great characters, and really good guests as well. And now with Brevecto, well, you can do something special for your dogs while you're having a laugh.
That's it. So let's get into the five things you need to know then. First story for this morning. Look, we've mentioned the likes of people who aren't held accountable. But as soon as there are opportunities for people to own up, well, you get this. Deputy President David Mabuza yesterday said he was too ill and he was on very strong painkillers when he traveled to Moscow in October of 2015 to remember whether a man known for negotiating mining deals between Russia and foreign governments was on the plane with him. So it's now a situation of, hey, this is your moment to own up, reveal things, discuss what you know. And he says, sorry, I don't remember. He was appearing in the National Council of Provinces for a question and answer session. And Mabuza was asked to respond to allegations contained in an open letter from the DEA's Musi Maimane, which was published earlier this week. And among these were the Ruslan Goring, who is a first deputy director of Russian exploration company, ROSGEO, and a man known to negotiate mining deals between Russia and foreign governments, who actually and allegedly accompanied David Mabuza to Moscow aboard a Gupta-owned jet. In his own direct words, he says, I was taken to Moscow in a very terrible condition. He insists he was offered transport to a Russian state hospital by Duduzane Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma's son, and also a business partner of the Gupta family, to receive treatment after he says he was poisoned. He continues to say, I can't even tell you who was in that flight that was taking me to a hospital. The only thing I've noticed that I was in a flight, but throughout the flight, I was on very high pain medication. Well, whether we believe him or not, those are his words.
Well, there's actually more from that. Here's Didi Mabuza talking about it. Ooh.
Ew. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Right, he always had more to say.
You know, isn't it amazing how everybody, the minute they're on that witness stand, they have diseases, they've got weaknesses, they're sad, they're depressed, they've got a hard time, their mom died, they were on painkillers. They become these fucking weak sacks of shit with no spine the moment they have to account for themselves.
Yeah,
and then you give them 2 minutes outside of the witness box and suddenly they're springing around.
Oh yeah, they're back to live and kicking. But it's also just funny how they have no say in the fate of their lives. Oh, but then I was taken here and I had to do this, and then there was this guy I had to meet. Like, what are you, like, on rap?
Poor me.
Poor me.
Yeah. So also in a woe unto me statement, it's really frustrating to hear. But nonetheless, Mayor Herman Mashaba yesterday said that the Johannesburg fire, which was all over CBD, has finally been put out. But, wait for that, the government doesn't have enough money to rejuvenate any of the hundreds of dilapidated buildings in the Joburg inner city. He says, we are pleased that the fire has been put out, but it is now a question of ensuring that it does not reignite. Mayor Mashaba said the city will get a forensic team to assess and check how the fire that killed 3 firefighters at the Bank of Lisbon building in the Joburg CBD started. He says, we are also bringing in structural engineers to come and assess the integrity of the building. We are pleased with the effort our team has put in. Some of them have not really slept for 24 hours. But even with all of this and how great it is, people are now pointing out that more than 500 buildings in Johannesburg still need some sort of revamp, need to be looked at again, need to have checks done to ensure their safety. But the city says, askies, well, we have no money to work on any of this. And that now they're calling on the private sector to come into play and invest and help the city out.
Okay, so they're calling on the private sector. So again, it's the admission that we're actually really shit, but how about you guys just fix this? How about we just call on the private sector to kick these pricks out? These buildings should either be leveled or they should be just put up for sale. Because you know the thing about buildings here? They're like humans. You need to maintain them. You go, oh, look, it's built. Let's just leave it. Not put money back into it.
500 buildings need some sort of care.
That's close to a disaster zone. This is one fire, okay? Well,
this is what I was talking about when I mentioned how the center of Berlin had been obliterated. It sounds like the same thing's happening in Johannesburg. And this is it's unacceptable that they don't have any plan or any means to fix this. And it's not the mayor. The mayor has a small municipal budget. I mean, the national government should step in. This is our biggest city. This is the engine of our economy.
This is the world-class African city. But no doubt, Herman's obviously being thrown under the bus here for this.
I've never believed that shit.
No.
I read that the surrounding
people
also. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read
you
that.
You sound like shit.
Thanks, G. I feel like shit. I read that the surrounding buildings are also in the same shitty state. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is there anything being done about that?
Well, it's just the general blame game, yeah. They'll do the blame game. But this is the thing, all these buildings, there's a budget for maintenance, right? There's a budget for all these kind of things. Mm. But what's happened to it? It's probably been put on bright areas and Range Rovers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last couple of stories that you need to know this morning is President Cyril Ramaphosa is trying to give South Africa some level of hope by saying that he believes South Africa will soon recover from the recession. He said this yesterday, and this was his first reaction to the news, that basically undermines his efforts to revive the economy and attract investment after what seems to be a decade of stagnation. So he staked his reputation on this economic revival when he took over in Feb from our previous president. And now with all of the stats lining up and all of the numbers being released, he nonetheless believes that we'll be able to recover very soon.
How? Well, I'm glad he believes that. He believes in a lot of things. I don't care what people believe in. I want to see action. And I don't know that this man has got it in him anymore. I've got to be honest. But can I bring in a news story for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought you might be interested in this. I find this fascinating because I think it's a little bit of quid pro quo that the Muslim part of the world is not really familiar with. The Prime Minister or President of Poland, let me just find the story here. Yeah, this guy says, no Saudi mosques will be built anymore in Poland or in Europe until Poland is allowed to build a cathedral in Saudi Arabia.
That's funny. It'll never happen, but that's where the irony comes in.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's quite
he says, he's been criticized for banning the burqa. The Polish law graduate insisted that the Islamic face veils should be banned in the same way as a Christian cross is banned in Saudi Arabia. He suggested the relationship between the West and the Islamic world was currently unbalanced. And citing a mosque, which Saudi Arabia's theocratic regime wants to construct in the Polish capital, Warsaw, as an example. We're happy to have it once they agree for Poland to build a cathedral in Saudi Arabia, he said. It's very simple. Either we equal, we are partners, we are the same human beings, or they feel they're better than we are, he declared. So I want to see if that happens. And until then, I reckon the whole of Europe should follow. They should just say, look, Saudi Arabia, you're spending money all over the world, putting up mosques in every other capital. There's one in Johannesburg that the Saudi government paid for, by the way. You can see it on the N1 highway as you head into town on the left-hand side, just before Killarney. And that's a Saudi-financed mosque. Now, if the Saudi government can build mosques all over the rest of the world, then we should be allowed to build other kinds of religious institutions or even non-religious institutions in Saudi Arabia. And guess what? You're not allowed to. In fact, Christians are not even allowed to go into Mecca. You're not allowed, unless you're a Muslim, to go into the city of Mecca. In. You can't even go in, let alone go to the Kaaba at the center of it.
It's an interesting kind of insight, though. It's like, don't think that you're better than us. No one's actually used that one yet.
Yeah, so let's see what happens with this. I'm sure Saudi Arabia will go, nothing to see here. Please don't pay attention to this guy. We don't want him showing us up to be the bigots that we are.
Quite plain to see, really. Well, the last story that you need to know this morning, Ford just never seems to win, because now the Ford Motoring Company announced yesterday that it needs to recall 2 million F-150 pickup trucks in North America to address some fire and smoke concerns in their seatbelt pretensioners. Now, lest we forget, Ford is actually the second largest U.S. automaker, and they've said that they are aware of 17 reports of smoke or fire in the United States and 6 in Canada, which relates to their seatbelt pretensioners, but was not aware of any incidents or injuries as a result of this condition. Well, quite simply, though, the mechanism of a seatbelt pretensioner, which works in tandem with airbags, involves an explosive charge that locks a seatbelt in place during a crash. So some pretensioners and front seatbelts could generate excessive sparks when deployed, resulting possibly in a fire. This is what the company have said. So now the recall covers 2015 Ford models and some 2015 Super Crew cab vehicles in North America for drive-in front passenger seatbelt pretensioners. So yeah, 2 million cars that need to be recalled. Hey, Ford, maybe must passenger.
Well, you know,
reel yourself in.
Can you imagine, like, being in Ford? It's probably like words you're not allowed to use, like fire, explosive, ignitions. But we'll obviously touch on more of that with George Meany, because he's coming in later today, as usual on a Friday, to give us a wrap of the world of motoring. George Meany, of course, Auto Central CEO. And yeah, he's part of the team with us. Gareth, anything else you want to add before we get on to the sport?
No, let's get to sport.
All right, well, just a look, because obviously with recession, everyone's talking about how things are plummeting right now. So just to give you a little insight, it's 15.32 to the US dollar. It's kind of come back a bit. It didn't go over 20 to the pound. Here we are, 19.81. But the euro still costs a shit ton as well, 17.81. But good news, people. We've come back.
When I bought my euros before I came on this trip, I think it was 15 something. It's now at 18.
Wow. So onto the
doesn't even have any words for it.
You stopped giving Bitcoin $6,501 for a Bitcoin, $229 for an Ethereum Ether.
Bitcoin is a bit like BlackBerry, Gareth. Everyone had it, and now no one really doesn't really work. So, All right, into the sport. And Rossi Erasmus has made not one, Sia, not two, not three, not six changes.
Ben, how did you count that? What?
He's made so many changes. He's made six changes to this BOC team that is going to play the Wallabies. And that'll be at 12 o'clock in Brisbane. It's going to be raining, which is not a good sign, because if it rains, I think this BOC team's going to come unraveled. We haven't got the sort of structure that we need. We saw when England dicked us in Newlands early in the year. So there's another thing about this whole change of team is that maybe he's priming himself for his best possible team to play against New Zealand next week. So just a look at the team. We've got Villiru at fullback, Makazola Mpimpi, he's back, who limped off against Argentina. And then we've got Jesse Creel and Damien de Allendy coming in at the centre pairing. So that's a fresh new centre pairing completely. Apiwa Junchi stays, and then we've got Elton Junchi, which means Twitter is going to be lit, yeah.
If you do say so yourself.
Tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Fafta Klerk, and then Warren Whiteley, Peter Setatori comes back to add some needed impetus to the loose trio, along with Sio Kalisi, who stays as captain. Then Franco Mastered, Ibn Ezebeth, Franz Malherbe, Bongium Bonambi, and Stephen Kitsoff. So Malcolm Marks has been dropped or benched, or probably rested. Same with Beast and Tauria. And then Hunter Pollard's on the bench, as is Cheslin Colby. Now, Cheslin Colby, of course, is just the surprise inclusion, because Rossi must read tweets. Everyone was like, oh, Cheslin Colby, look at him on Twitter. He's going so well in France. Suddenly he's in the box squad. Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. So people are saying, well, you know, you have a bad game with Rossi, you get dropped. I don't think so. I still believe that Malcolm Marks is obviously number one hooker. Obviously. And Hunter Potter will probably come back next week. But there's been this whole planned rotation around the fly halves. Elton gets a chance. Andre gets a chance. They both completely fuck it up. And everyone goes, well, what are we doing now? No Willemser as far as the backup concerned either, because the backups are Ambrose Papier, Pollard, Anches, and Colby. So he's out of the match day 23 altogether. Will the Box win this one? Well, thankfully, David Pocock's not playing for Australia. Got a neck injury, so he's out. That's a big, big blow for them. But the Aussies still got a good team. They've still got a decent team. And Kirtley Beale will be playing fly half this time around. It is too close to call. Flip a coin, and I'm pretty sure you can have confidence to go either way. I think if it's going to rain, it's not going to help the Box whatsoever. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these new combinations go, because you can't keep tinkering with this team. And if Rossi is going to make a plan that next week's the big game, I think players pick up on that. So that'll be 12 o'clock. Prior to that, the New Zealanders will be beating Argentina around 9:35. But Ashton Willemser, that story is kind of still lingering, not really. But he's gone. He'll no longer be on SuperSport. So his contract wasn't renewed. But again, like, there's obviously three sides to the story. But the more that I dig in the story with people that I know who work there, who know people and people, is that Ashwin has played this hand rather badly. He really has. And now he's not going to be on SuperSport. It's as simple as that. So that matter in my mind is done. It was unfounded. It was a stormer in a teacup. See what I did this year? That was a rugby.
Storm in a teacup. Stormer.
Rugby. Yeah. So that's all you need to know about rugby. That's all you need to know about rugby right now. Football-wise, you're not going to find any Serie A this weekend, if you're into that. But a lot of it's got to do with the fact that there's this UEFA Nations League. What is that, you ask? Well, I don't really know. But you know, in football, they get all these endless friendlies. So you'll have these friendlies. I mean, what the hell's a friendly? A friendly is like a braai. Sport is sport. You win or you lose. There's no in between. There's no, okay, that was fun. So what UEFA are doing, because they want to try and, like, you know, formalize this kind of stuff, they've created the UEFA Nations League. So that people are actually playing for something. So last night, like the Czech Republic, they lost to Ukraine. Wales beat Ireland. Germany drew 0-0 with France. So there's like these big games going on. And there'll be more games today. And then next month, there'll be more games as well. So basically, picture the World Cup, but also with some teams you really couldn't care about. Now stretch that along a long time period. That's kind of the new way for Nations League. I don't know who thought about this. It's basically, it's friendlies. It's friendlies, but then someone gets called a better team than some other team at the end. It's, yeah. So, hence the excitement around that. Obviously, US Open.
That's how I see all sport then.
Well, Gareth, yeah. Well, yeah. US Open tennis. Serena Williams is through. She absolutely wiped the floor with Svestova. 6-3, 6-love. And then Osaka, well, she's having a run. Hey, look at that. She beat Madison Keys 6-2, 6-4. So we've got Osaka versus Williams. I think Serena's already won six times. She's already played over 100 games at the Arthur Ashe Stadium alone. Obviously, she is the queen of pretty much everywhere she goes. And to win another Grand Slam, this is going to be absolutely sensational. So that'll take place kind of the early hours of Sunday morning, I gather, late night Saturday. Because it's obviously in America. And on the men's side, well, we've got the semi-finals happening from today, Sia. Oh, man. I just absolutely screwed up. I had the screen, and the screen just vanished. So, as we know, Federer, he bowed out. And McEnroe actually was quite scathing in what he said about Federer. He's like, he's either got to play more tournaments or he's got to retire. I know Federer has found this sort of new lease of life in his latter stages of his career. Because he's only playing certain ones. But I think that's starting to show now. I mean, he really is. He's losing a bit of sharpness. But then again, with the sharpness, well, if you keep playing, he's going to become even more blunt. So he's out of it. Nadal's still here. So he'll take on Del Potro today in the semifinals. And then Nishikori. It's a good US Open for the Japanese here, sir. He'll be taking on Djokovic. So those are your semifinal lineups. So you've got that to look forward to this weekend. Obviously, there'll be Currie Cup rugby, if you like the T20 of rugby. And then in actual English football, Spurs-Liverpool, 1:30. How about that? So straight after you watch the box, you can watch Spurs versus Liverpool. And that will be, of course, at Spurs. And then other big games to watch out for, Newcastle will be hosting Arsenal. Man City will be beating Fulham. And then Chelsea versus Cardiff, Watford hosting Man United. Of course, Watford having a great start to the season. And then nothing to really watch on Sunday or Monday, really. So Saturday's all your big games right there, all your big games. There's also ABSA Premier League, Premiership. I know it was a big week for the guy who owns all of that, Irvin Causer. He was talking about how the PSLs here and the SAPS are going to start fighting crime together.
What's the PSL going to do?
Well, maybe not have crime in their matches. So if you take away PSL crime, it'll really help the stats. All those guys that run into the field and then beat each other up. So that'd be a nice thing. But yeah, so this weekend...
Crime.
Well, the thing... I mean, like, it's just dripping with irony. Irvin Causer is now trying to fight crime.
He's a crime lord. That's what he is.
Exactly. I mean, him and Beckett like, got together yesterday. I mean, it looked like a mobster meeting that was just... funded by Empress Palace.
I still believe in stomach in chest out.
I like him. I do like him. But when you sit next to Evan Causer, those two look like they're about to plan something sinister. Yeah, so this weekend, we've got Cape Town City versus Kaizer Chiefs. There's your big one. That'll be at 3 o'clock, and it is taking place down in Cape Town. Maritzburg Knights will host Bidvest Fits, the high-flying Bidvest Fits. And then Pirates, if you're still a fan of Pirates, well, 8:15 on Saturday, Supersport United. That is the big game. And then Sundowns play on Sunday. They're hosted by AmaZulu at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, not the biggest kind of weekend of sport, really. The final test between England and India take place. It'll be Alistair Cook's final test, but the series is already done. So India are playing for the worst thing you can play for in all of sport. They're playing for pride. Just nothing really.
The worst
thing. I mean, that's not even a tap on the ass. I'd sooner play for a tap on the ass than play for pride. Uh-huh. And of course, in the golf, Tiger Woods is killing it right now. Him and Rory McIlroy at the top of the leaderboard on the BMW Championship, which is part number 3 of 4, the FedEx Cup. And then there's an awesome European Tour event in the Swiss mountains. Basically, everyone that's not good enough to do that or basically play Ryder Cup, they're going to be at the Swiss mountains. Uh-huh. Ryder Cup's coming. What's coming, sir? And that is it for your sport for this Friday. Onto something positive now. Onto something lovely. Onto Sia Sangweni.
Well, Ben, I'm kind of at a loss of and for words this morning, because as much as I always want to bring inspiring stories and something, excuse me, that'll be heartwarming and a good news thing to hear, I also don't want us to ever forget what's really happening in our country. So as much as the woman I'm about to talk about, Nomtha Mboneli, is doing amazing work, she is not meant to be in this position. So she is 33 years old. Her name is Nomtha and lives in Flagstaff, which is in the rural Eastern Cape. 33 years old, and she's currently caring for 10 children in her village, all alone with one assistant and solely off the money that she is meant to that receive as a social support grant for her one child. So you think about the situation, you think about how selfless she is being because of the situation in her community. But why is this all left on one woman's shoulder? Well, supposedly in Flagstaff, there is a massive problem of children being abandoned. And Nomtha really cannot stand to see these young children being left on their own. With some cases, it's teenage mothers who can't afford to take care of the kids. In some cases, it's just parents who are unfit. So she has taken it on her own accord to look after kids, and she's currently looking after 10 children aged between 2 years old and 18 years old. She says that what I'm doing is to give a safe and warm home to these children. I also make sure that they go to school every single day. Nomtha currently lives in a home with only 3 bedrooms and 1 rondavel, and she's helped by one other person. She says that she lets the children know that she's only a guardian. She says, I do not wish them to lose the relationship with their biological parents if the parents are willing to take part. And listen to this, Nomta's currently unemployed and she relies on the child support grant she receives for a 3-year-old child. We know that that's not a lot in South Africa, so heaven only knows how she even manages to maintain her own lifestyle, her 3-year-old child's lifestyle, and also look after the rest of the kids. She says none of the other children get grants. Their mothers left with their birth certificates, which means they cannot apply for grants. Some mothers withheld these so that they could keep on getting their children's grants while they're away from their children. And not having birth certificates, however, results in other challenges.
You should just be locked up if you do that.
What sort of person are you?
You take away the birth certificate, you claim the state welfare payment, and you just abandon your child. You should be locked in jail.
Yeah, I mean, it's sick and twisted behavior if you are doing that.
Now, this poor woman has to look after everybody because she's got some conscience, you know?
It's unfair. So as much as it's all good and well that I can dance upon here this morning and say, look at how amazing she is. Yes, she's doing great work, but she doesn't need to be in this position. She shouldn't be in this position. Yeah. So yeah, as much as I wanted to shine light this morning, I also think we need to always be aware of what's happening and we need to, you know, stand up for certain things that are just not right. So it's a bit of the good and a bit of the bad this morning for Said by Sia.
All right, Sia. Nice balance.
Nice balance.
Okay, Gareth, are you about to ease into a nice hotel breakfast?
I am, and then we're heading off at 8:30. So got lots of things to get done today. But I'll update you as soon as I'm back. I'm back on Monday morning, so everything's back to normal.
Awesome.
Very good. Cool. Yeah, Gareth, it's going to be green and fresh and lovely when you get back. Well,
yeah, I can't wait.
It's not going to be as dusty, but I mean, it's great. We're in this recession together. Just with grass and smiles, and the birds are still tweeting.
And the rain that started last night will be fine.
Speaking of which, isn't it strange how as you get older, like I just feel my mind is full of weird things, but as the rain was falling this morning, I could hear Toto.
Oh yeah, of course, it makes sense, the Africa song.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking, like, how programmed am I as a human that like that I hear that kind of stuff?
You bless the rains down in Africa.
Well, seriously, I worry about what goes in my head.
You had some rain this morning?
Storms. Like, nice. Yeah, it's wet. Okay, and cool. It's amazing out there. So that is the first hour. We'll be back with the second hour. And we'll play with Toto.
Here we go.
Safe travels, guys.
May as well share it with everyone.
Now you've all got it in your head.
Right.
Ciao. CliffCentral.com.